Nick Needham was born with football flowing through his veins, but after attending three different high schools in 4 years and playing only 1 year of varsity ball, a career on the gridiron was far from a sure thing.
I think, I guess, just from what we were talking about in high school, I've always been counted as the underdog. Like, yeah, like I said, playing varsity my senior year, people making fun of me for that, but I'll go out there and lock them up. And people always say I'm goofy or I look funny because I'm always smiling and stuff, so I think I kind of keep that on my shoulder, and then when I go out there and I make a play, like, and I get turned, it's not just because of that play. It's because I'm showing everybody, like, you're wrong. I know what I can do, and clearly it's out here on the field, so.
I'm OJ McDuffie, a two-time Miami Dolphins team MVP and 1998 NFL receptions leader.
And I'm Seth Levitt, a former member of the team's PR department, and today in the fish tank, we sit down with the Dolphins defensive back and discuss his remarkable journey from undrafted free agent to training camp casualty, to becoming a key contributor on one of the most respected secondaries in all of football.
DJ Priest, spin this.
You're now diving into the fish tank.
Sitting down with Seth Living, Seth, OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, yeah. Dolphins, number one, of course, y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk, dive up in that fish tank.
Welcome back to the Fish Tank right here on the Miami Dolphins Podcast Network. Seth Levitt, DJ Preach is back there on the ones and twos, and my main man, OJ McDuffie. Juice, we're back in the Wingfield living room.
We're in the building, man, again.
Again.
We're back in the building, man.
I don't know what you did.
Man, please.
But things are looking up.
It's always about you, big son.
No, it's definitely not about me.
You're the one that knows everybody, and that's how we get in.
We were like out back there in the construction site or something.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, this is a tough one. This is a tough interview today, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because guys like we got in the tank today, always been my nemesis.
This is a matchup I've been looking
forward to. Nemesis, bro. But it's outstanding, man. Toughest job in the secondary coming up right here.
In the slot.
In the slot.
Oh, I can't wait to ask him about it. Nick Needham dives into the fish tank. How you feeling today, man?
Feeling good. Just got done working out, so I'm ready to start my day.
He's ready. Wait, you're ready to start your day? So yeah. What was
the rest,
that?
Yeah. Like, that's just getting it in.
That was work.
That's mandatory, though. Yeah, oh, that, you know what I'm saying? We're not worried about that.
Got
stuff.
It. Yeah. Got it. I got it. Well, we have a lot to cover. It was fun doing some research on you. It's certainly been fun following your career thus far. But before we go any further, as I'm sitting here with my partner, and we talked, it's interesting, actually, where this whole thing, you know, Renzo is a little sly with this. I think he set us up for this question. Talk to me about Juice County.
No, Juice right? County.
Because I got, like, nah. To me, hey. I've been here. I thought this was Juice County.
Hey, for sure.
Yeah.
So. Okay, what you got Juice going
Juice.
On?
I'm just That's OJ. Nickname. My nickname
OJ.
Is Juice.
See? Okay. Yeah, sure. Well, where I'm from is Orange County, but me and all my friends, we call it, like, Juice County, Orange Juice. So yeah, that's the juice, and, yeah. Like, kind of adopted that, and it's kind of a little takeover going on out there now, so we're just trying to keep promoting that, but basically just where I'm from, where all my best friends are from, and we all just doing different things. One of my best friends in the NFL now, too, so that's also cool, so we're just trying to represent Juice County well, man.
Representing Juice County.
You got a best friend in the league,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, the Falcons. Yeah. Jalen Hawkins. Yeah. Yes,
see
sir.
That? See that? See, when I came out, nobody.
Yeah,
I had to find some guys. Nobody from my school made it past. Mm-hmm. Most of them didn't even have a college, you know, scholarship or anything.
Oh, so they had college scholarships. But
now,
like
for no football. Yeah, exactly right.
But that's
exactly
what also,
right.
It's
prep schools.
We got a couple guys in the league from our high school, but it's not, I think it's only like 10 total. So it's like,
that's a pretty good number, though.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess you could say that.
Well,
like California.
Look,
in California, right. Long Beach probably got like 500 dudes that's right. Been to the league. Because, so, that's, yeah, when you compare that, it's like, oh.
Oh, you're saying not 10
like,
right
no, just,
now.
In, just
10 historically.
Ever, like, yeah,
okay.
Right. Yeah, so you're saying 10 is a lot. Oh, right. Man. Like one every other year.
You're saying historically.
Yes, sir.
So clearly, Juice County is important to you.
There, yeah, it's on me right here.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. So, but you did do some jumping around a little bit in high school.
Right,
you went to three different high schools.
Those were all in Orange County. That's
oh,
why.
Is that right? They're all in Juice County?
Yeah,
all right,
Juice County, my bad, yeah. I'm disrespecting.
Yeah, right. So why all the jumping around, and how did that affect you in your development as a player, or did it help you as a player?
I think in the long run it helped me, but when I was younger, moving around, I'm thinking, all you think about is your friends, and you don't really know what's really going on, but my parents were never together, so they were split. We were split times. I live with my mom. Up till like 16, but I would go with my dad. But we were in San Clemente, And it just wasn't, we went from Long Beach to San Clemente, and that's where I did middle school, high school. And then until my sophomore year, one of my like best cousins, kind of like my brother, he died. So that was kind of like a traumatic experience. And I just think I was just going through like some rough times then. So I needed to just get a new little situation. I ended up moving in with my dad in Anaheim. And that's where I went to Servite High School, which was an all men's Catholic school. So that was kind of like another switch up, which I wasn't really feeling. And I was already like in my head, like I had to figure some shit out too. So, oh, sorry.
You okay?
My bad.
You're in the tank, dog. We're good.
My bad, yeah. Nah, but I had to figure some stuff out, only child, and just get my hair right. So I think that Catholic school actually gave me structure and stuff. So that was cool, but just still young, I'm like, I don't like this. Like, I'm trying to get out of here. So, and I wasn't playing, I didn't play varsity till my senior year in high school. So I was still on JV all through those years. And
but was that because you were jumping around, or do you
think
that that was?
I think that and attitude, like, not bad attitude, but like just being only child, kind of doing my own stuff. I kind of talk back a little bit. So like
to coaches,
not
to everybody.
Just yeah, just like I had. That's what I said. I had to figure some stuff out. When I was younger, so I did that, and then I went to that private school. Didn't work out, and then I went to Buena Park, and ended up playing my senior year. My dad came to coach there, so he was the OC. Mm-hmm. So that was cool, and then I met my best friends there. So that was also cool.
Talk about your dad a little bit. I mean, I know he's a quarterback guru, correct?
Yeah,
I mean,
he's definitely a quarterback guru. Yeah. Steve Calhoun.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's based out of Anaheim, Orange County as well.
That's me.
Oh, my bad. I'm grabbing water.
That's good.
It's getting hot in here. But yeah, no, he's been coaching quarterbacks for like 20 years. Started his own company. He played in NFL Europe for a little bit. Played in Arena League. And now he's worked with like some notable guys on the offensive side, Keenan Allen, a bunch of the Chargers receivers. He's worked with Cam Newton a couple times. Just all over the world.
So,
but
so why not quarterback for you?
I tried that. Yeah, like it's just like didn't really mesh together. Like getting coached by your dad and the same position didn't really go well. I got his like attitude and all that stuff. So like just clashing heads didn't really work. So receiver is cool. It's like, all right, like I could just do that. I liked receiver too, actually. Right. That was my favorite position.
Damn right.
But I saw I was too small, not fast enough. So I'm like, all
right. Wow, I just saw you walk in, man. You look taller than me.
Yeah, hey,
man.
Well, I'm just saying. That's what I'm saying. My hands are small. We definitely, I know your hands big as hell.
So look.
Yeah,
my,
I probably got the smallest hands on the team.
All right, it's understood, bad. Understood.
That'll do it. When I hear that, right, and I hear the different things you had to go through in the different schools, and it starts to make me understand maybe how you ended up at UTEP, right? And so everybody's got a different path to how they get here. Some guys, I won't name names, get recruited by every school in the country. They get legendary coaches handwriting letters to them to recruit them, and other guys are just chasing an opportunity. They're chasing an opportunity. So, but you got there, you made it happen, you did your thing. But as a team, I went and looked at that record.
Oh, yeah.
Your last two years, y'all were like 1-23.
I won one game in my last 2 years.
1-23, and then you get to the league and drop the first 7.
Yeah.
Like, how do you stay focused on a 1-30 run?
At that point, I mean, there was a lot of talk with my family and stuff because, yeah, like you said, it's hard to stay focused when you just, like, you think, like, all right, we're just going to go out here and lose. Like, man, that was the energy of the team that was giving off. So it was like, it was tough to get out there, but you just try to keep motivating everybody. And my dad being a strong football minded dude and just knowing he's always been hard on me. And he says, like, no matter what he do, like, if y'all losing by 50, whatever you put out there on tape is about to be seen by anybody. So you might as well go hard and now even stand out even more. If y'all losing every game, you're still out there trying to win and go as hard as you can. So I think I took that into consideration and applied that really my senior year too. And then, yeah, like, when we came here, it was like, oh, this is, like, everybody tripping. I'm like, this is nothing to me. Like, yeah, I'm used to this. Like, I could get it in with this. There's no pressure. Like, it's easy. So
been there, done that.
Yeah, I think that was the easiest part for me. And just, I mean, I wasn't really worried about any of that. I was just focusing on, like, what I'm, like, going to do each play. Like, make sure I execute and make sure I do my job. I wasn't worried about the record. Or, I mean, obviously you are, but. In that point in time, I was a rookie, undrafted, just got cut, got back on the team. I was just like, man, what's the next play? Like, I'm just trying to focus on that. So But I think all of that and then just that experience in college, like you said, one in 30?
One in 23. Was when we added the first 7 years.
One in 23, yeah, that's wild to think about that. But yeah. I think that's definitely what helped me and just obviously my friends in college and just talking to people. And like I said, my best friend in Falcons, I'll call him. He's at Cal and he's like, just keep going, man, 2 more years. And I'm like, you're right. So
makes sense. And so do you think that now – that having gone through that, that you have a greater appreciation every time you guys finish with more points than the opposing team, do you have a greater appreciation for how valuable each victory is?
Every time, yes. I didn't really understand how hard it was to win, but definitely when you get out here in the NFL too, like when they really say that, that's a true statement. Like any given Sunday, like you never know what could happen. The ball can bounce wrong and they get an interception, not even on a bad play, but you just never know. So definitely every win we've taken, I'll just go out there and try to remember it. Really, for every game, too, I just go out there and just try to enjoy the moment because it's a blessing for sure.
You know, let's talk about that first year, Nick. You know, you alluded to it a little bit and how you got here to the Dolphins. You know, like you said, no college all-star games, no combine. You go undrafted. Then you get cut, and then you're back. What kept you motivated? What kept you going, my man?
I guess just from what we were talking about in high school, I've always been counted as the underdog. Like I said, playing varsity my senior year, people making fun of me for that, but I'll go out there and lock them up. So it's like, that doesn't make sense to me. So, and people always say I'm goofy or I look funny because I'm always smiling and stuff. So I think I kind of keep that on my shoulder. And then when I go out there and I make a play, like not getting turned, it's not just because of that play. It's because I'm showing everybody like, you're wrong. I know what I can do. And clearly it's out here on the field, so.
Yeah, did anything else change? I mean, when you got cut and they brought you back, what was the difference you think?
Oh, yeah, that was for sure. Because you can cover when you're in shape, but you only can do that for 2 plays.
Right.
Yeah,
it's like third down, that was a problem.
Third down, the most important down, your gaps, and you're getting, like, you're saying you can't, you're not getting the stuff done that we need to get done. So I was like, okay. And that cut feeling, the craziest part is, like, they had, on the last day of cuts, they caught, like, it was like 11. I think the cutoff time was like 11:30 or something. Like, I still didn't get a call. I was just sitting in my bed, like, sitting there, and then I saw the number call and then got cut. And that heart drop feeling, I was like, I don't ever want to feel this again. So I think that just helped me keep it pushing. And
When they cut me, I didn't answer the phone. Send my stuff to the house. Well, it's my ninth year, but.
I was just waiting for it. I got cut. Year 20, you get cut, you still be like, hold on, what's going on?
I guess it's whatever it is.
The first time I got cut, man.
Understood. Did you change your diet at that point?
No, I had the hell with it.
So, you just mentioned Josh Boyer. Is it accurate, and I, you know, again, trying to do the research, but is it accurate that when you didn't get drafted on draft day, that the call you got was from Josh Boyer? Is he the person that actually called you?
I was talking to my agent, and he was like, what team you want to sign with? Because I think, when you're in draft, you can choose. And, like, another team was telling me they was going to draft me the whole time, and they didn't.
Right.
And then the Dolphins had told me straight up, like, this is what we're about to do. But, like,
so you're saying the Dolphins didn't say, oh, we're going to draft you.
Yeah, they, like, said, throughout the process, they're like, we like you, but, like, just knowing, we like undrafted, but we feel like you can come here and make a name for yourself type stuff. So that was one of the only teams that really, like, just kept it 100, and I, like, that's why I mess with, like, honesty and just truthfulness. So
gotcha.
They did that, and then I talked to my agent. He's like, it'd be cool. So I called it, or I said, let's do it. And then, Josh called me, and he told me about Malcolm Butler when he's at the Patriots and stuff. And Justin Coleman, we played with him last year, and I think another person, but he just said he has a rap sheet for, you know what I'm saying, taking some undiscovered guys or whatever, and, you know what I'm saying,
helping them build careers.
Right. Build their career, so.
Gotcha. And here you are now, and,
he's
even through a coaching change, he's still your defensive coordinator, and so have the things that you guys spoke about in that initial conversation, you starting to see them come to fruition, and has that helped you guys build this bond to get to where you are now?
I definitely would say that. I think our bond is good. Definitely give a lot of credit to him and where I'm at today. He's helped me out tremendously, opened my eyes. That is, can be gone that second. Like, everything, life is like that too. It's not really a lot of room for mistakes, so I think that's what I appreciate a lot and just want to keep it going. I'm not there yet, obviously, so we just want to keep going and keep getting better every week, every year, every week.
Nick, the position you play is one of the absolute strengths on this team. I mean, the DBs, you know, when you got a couple amazing DBs in X and Byron, you know, X might be one of the best to ever play the position well. Sure. But I always tell guys that their job is way easier than what you have to do on the inside. The inside guy, you're really playing outside linebacker at times. You're playing Sam or Will. You know, you might have to get your nose a little bloody, you know, on you know, making a tackle. Or you might have to come off the edge or the slot and blitz.
Right.
You know what I mean? Those guys got it easier compared to you, man. What? How was your relationship with those guys, you know, the guys on the outside, the prima donna DBs, compared to the guy that's got to be in the slot doing the dirty work?
I think we got a great relationship, X and Byron. No, because it's funny. Like, we always joke around and stuff. Definitely, I mean, not this past year, but the year before, I wasn't saying nothing. But last year, I'm like, okay, they saying a bunch of stuff. Like, I'm going to say some stuff, too, but – I just think I just been handling my stuff in there well because of them, like asking them for tips. And I mean, I watch X sometimes line up in the slot and he'll strap some stuff up. And I'm like, how you do that?
Right.
Or like Byron, like, how do you do that? Like, so I'll take what they do from the outside and try to apply it to my inside game. Cause I mean, they're some of the best and obviously they're out there for a reason. So I try to just soak up as much game from them. And I think we all got a cool little brothership and like to joke around and mess around with each other. And I think that's why we're so happy for each other when we make plays out there. Cause
explain to people, though. You didn't really explain to people how hard it is.
Oh, my
slot,
bad.
Man. Yeah, I know. I'm saying it's tough.
Oh,
the
no,
slot.
It's definitely
you got
tough.
A guy that's got, like,
yeah,
because
like,
I got five different ways I can go.
Look at the two dudes we got on our team, though, like Tyreek and Jalen. If they're on the outside, it's like maybe a slant or a fade, maybe a double move, but like, it's really not that much. We're in the slot. They got like 30 different routes they could run.
Right.
And they didn't even have to run a route. They could just hop up and just sprint away from you. And it's like they have 50 yards of field and already faster than me. So, like, I'm already at a disadvantage. So, you got to be really technically sound and be film study wise because that's the only thing. Well, that's not the only thing, but that's one of the main things that's going to help you in that area because, man, it doesn't even, like you said, it's tough. And then you. They'll do a run or they'll do a little pass play and it's a play action, it's a run. Then a running back running full speed up the gap and you got to shut it down and wrap them up. So it's like, I like that challenge though because it's definitely opened a new world for me. But I'm always up to step up to a challenge.
Yeah.
But it's definitely been something I'm trying to get used to and get comfortable with. But I think every year I've been getting a little better. But no, that's definitely one of the hardest. I've never played a slot like that.
That's what I was going to ask.
Right.
So you didn't do that in college?
Never, never.
Right.
Never. I was always on the outside.
Yeah, that's unique. That's a unique position, man. It's you know, you got to be a dog in there, man.
No, for
you
sure.
You know what I mean? I know I played against a couple – played with a couple corners that wasn't – didn't want any of that smoke in there, man, you know?
But that's what I was going to ask you, right? So, look, you watch him every week.
Right.
I don't know if you've seen – film of the work
this man did
in there.
Sure.
And so what do you see when he lines up? What as a person whose job it was to try and beat this guy, what do you see when you see
like I saw the same thing, technically sound, waiting for a guy to make his move instead of giving him an easy release. You always got to try to put your hands on people. Nick likes to put his hands on them too. Because you have to. You only got a limited window in there, you know, to put your hands on somebody. So redirect. You know what I mean? Make them uncomfortable. One thing wide receivers, you know, about wide receivers is you know, we hate getting touched.
Right.
Don't touch us at all, especially the line of scrimmage, man. It disrupts everything, man. So that's but kudos inside, man. Would you rather be, you know, blitzing quarterbacks? I know you don't want to, you know, tackle that running back. Would you rather be in coverage?
I'd definitely rather be in coverage.
Yeah.
But I like the physicality of the game, and I think I've adopted that more. So, I mean, I like blitzing, sacks. I didn't really sack nothing in college, so I got a sack every year now, so that's been
cool.
And
the pressure's serious. I saw that posted somewhere.
Yeah.
And, it had like 15, I mean.
Oh, yeah, I've been there, But I need to get better at it, of course, but I like it, though.
Yeah. You joke a little bit about the guys on the outside. Any funny stories, anything that you can talk about?
Just like when we talk, like for sacks example, like they'll be on me about, okay, like dude, he done took off on me one play, but they didn't throw it. And they like, oh, and I'm like, man, watch out. Like, they'll come in there on a blitz, never blitz and miss. And I'll be like, hey, like, what is that? Like, hey, come on, bro. We got to wrap that up. And so it's just a little stuff like that. That's really funny.
That builds that bond.
Yeah,
though,
yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, yeah, no.
That looks good on that film. On film, are you talking on at the on during the game or is that
oh, during the game later? Too? Yeah, yeah, during yeah. the game too. It's a little more locked in. It's not as much joking right, around. Right, but right. I mean, sometimes – like, if it's the right setting, we'll be on the sideline, joke about some. But, like, a good
the right
play,
setting
like
is in, we're winning.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Doing well.
Something like that. Right. Right. But one of us make a play, we'll all joke around about it, like, stuff like that. And I think that's what keeps the energy up in the game and try to keep going.
Yeah, and that group, that whole position group is like that. And so what that makes me think about, you talk about X and Byron, and now you're being coached by Sam Madison and Pat Sertan.
Right.
And I just listening to you, those same stories could have been told, you know, when we were here with those guys. I don't know how much time you've been able to spend with both of them up to this point, but what has that been like to have two guys that come in with not only, you know, coaching, but the resume they had on the field?
No, I think that's one of the coolest parts about this year already. Just sitting in the meet, I sit next to Pat every day, so I just sit next to him and then, I mean, he doesn't say nothing, but not like that, but I'll just be sitting, looking at him like, wow, this is one, like, this is a great Miami great. And I'll just ask him little stuff. And it just feels cool to ask somebody that's actually played and, like, excelled at the position, you know what I'm saying? And ask him about that.
And in that slot, too. I mean, he knows a lot about that.
Yeah, that's why I was asking him stuff today. So, I can't wait to really get to work. And, I mean, from what they've already been telling us in these past 2 weeks, like, I can tell already my game's still going to keep elevating. So
they bring that street cred.
Yeah, and that's what I like. Yeah, definitely can relate. So I like that for sure.
That's awesome.
Nick, now anybody that knows you, they know that you don't wear the number 40. You wear the number 40.
40, yes, indeed.
Tell us about 40.
I kind of like E40, like 40 water, like how you be saying that. So, like, I kind of adopted that. And, like, my cousin Lolo, he kind of put me on that, like, E40 in that yay area music, so I feel like
you
that.
You got E40. You're too young for E40.
What you mean?
Man.
Come on, man. We got to respect the West Coast at all time. All the legends. Too Short, Mac Dre, all them. We know them. Yeah. So I think that just fits me too. Like, 40, like not 40. Like, nah. Yeah, I got to put some swag. Yeah, nah. I got to put some swag.
I would wear 40.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah, that's what I would
wear. You
wear
40. 40.
40. Yeah, like.
Not 40.
It ain't that 40.
And it makes the number cool. Like, at first, like, oh, he wears 40, but now it's like, oh, yeah, it's different. Like, 40.
Is that the number they gave you?
Yeah, that's the number I got. And I was like,
that's
what
I kind of inherited 81. I didn't ask for it. That's what. But I'm happy to have a number.
And you
right?
kept it all through?
Yeah.
Well, how's the cool way to say 81?
81.
There it is.
Come
on, man.
What about if you could have went single digits? Would you have switched? Did you wear single in college?
Yeah, I wore 24 in college.
Oh, okay. Oh, so,
yeah, okay. No single digit.
Yeah, no,
couldn't do it?
I don't think I could. I was just happy to get an 80 number because remember when I came out, wide receivers had to wear 80s.
Yep. Oh, they had to
wear 80 numbers, you know, and I wanted 84 because I was 24, but a tight end had that. So when they threw an 80 number in my locker, I was just happy about having an 80 number, man. A lot of other dudes, you know, were wearing the teams until they make the squad, then they get an 80 number. At the
right.
Mm. Yeah. So.
Felt like that was a little.
I hope it meant something.
In the totem pole.
I hope it meant something.
No.
Yeah,
I think it might have meant something. What about, let's talk about social media for a minute. Because, again, doing the research, I read the articles. And this, so let me go see what he's doing on Instagram or whatever. I could be just creating something out of nothing here, but. The pictures that you're posting seem, there's a certain artistic flair to them, man. And I think some of it comes out in the clothes that you're wearing and images, but they just don't seem like straight up pictures that I took from my iPhone. I don't know if you got like a photographer or am I just imagining this?
Nah, you know, just sometimes, I mean, when we're out, like my friend Jalen, he knows, he's really connected in California. So he knows everybody. If we're doing something, he's the guy, not me, but he always got a camera dude around or something like that.
Oh, so it's like a professional photographer taking.
Well, it's not really a professional. It's just a dude like that has a professional, like an expensive ass camera. Mm-hmm. But it'll be like the homie, so like, he'll just bring it and flick us up. So, so it looks better though than.
You gotta go see these dudes. Yeah. It looks like we're following around somebody who's like a musician or something, man. And preparing a documentary. So I was like, who's traveling with these cats?
Yeah, nah.
So all right, so I'm not crazy.
Nah, but I mean, you want to make it's your page. You want to make it look a little interesting.
Okay.
Not just,
got
you know
it.
What I'm saying.
So. Yeah, pages. sizes. You know what I mean? They're aging me, man.
I really wasn't on it like that, but this past year, I was like, I might as well start taking pictures and stuff. It's cool.
Absolutely.
You know, it's fun, though. Good memories.
Yo, Nick, I don't usually talk about anybody's money or finances, man. You know, we always had the motto, you know, keep your hand out of my pocket.
Keep
your hands out of my pocket. But you did sign your you know, second round tender that the Dolphins placed on you. For one, I think that shows the, how much they value you. But do you ever sit back and reflect on, you know, where you started to where you are now? Considering, like we just talked about, you know, three high schools, undrafted, no combine, no all-star games, getting cut, then finally getting a chance to play. From where you started to where you are now, man, you sit back and reflect on that?
No, for sure. I think the day of when I found out, like, that was happening, I was just like, wow, like, I went from, like you said, just staying in my granny house, like, 10 people in there, we all just vibing out, no one cares. Like, when you're young, like you said, when you're young, you don't notice that stuff. And then you get older, and it's like, wow, like, my parents really did a lot for me. So that in order to get all this, or, like, you know what I'm saying, to just be blessed with this and to give back, I think that's the biggest thing for me. It's like, now I can finally give them back, not just for the money they spend, or, like, the time and all, like, 21 years of raising me. Like, so stuff like that, I think that's the biggest thing.
Your family come out here with you? From South Florida with you?
No.
They're in Juice County.
They're still in
Juice County. Juice County, man. Yeah, I'm trying to get right.
It took my mom a long time. My mom, see, Juice County is a lot different than Cleveland. My mom's in Cleveland. Oh, man. Come down here for a while. Mom, what are you thinking? Yeah. What are you thinking? Yeah. You know,
so, waiting for this call.
Yeah, I feel that, though.
No doubt. What about, you know, you talk about kind of paying back your family for all that they've done, and what about organizationally? Like, does it change the goals, or were those things already on the table?
Like, as far as organization, like,
just for the team, what you want to do with this,
like,
team.
Here?
Yeah,
I definitely have a lot of goals. What was the other question? Sorry.
Well, just, you talked about the tender and the contract and what that meant to you personally.
You're saying, like, what
the
disorganization
means? And so now,
to me?
Correct.
No, for sure. This organization means the world to me. I mean, they kind of gave me my life. So that's how I feel like that. I owe them everything. Great people here, taking care of me. Took a young kid that didn't really know what was going on, fat. Got his mind right.
Fat.
I'm just saying, like, for real,
got
my mind right and really, like, helped me grow into a man with all the coaches here and players. And I just, like, man, this is a big part of my life, and I'm gonna remember this forever, and I'm telling my kids about it. Like, so I feel like this is, like, one of the hugest milestones in my life, being a part of this organization. And it's cool to be in Miami because it's kind of similar to Cali Beach.
Right.
It's not a good with Cali.
Whoa.
Yeah. Uh-oh. What do you
think about that? Well,
I haven't been
to Cali Beach. I haven't been to very many Cali beaches. So
I feel like it's colder.
Yeah.
But I guess you like
California the best, but Miami second.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Well, shots
interesting.
Fired.
Well,
he said shot fired. Shot fired.
Well, we're glad you're on this coast.
Yeah, right.
We've really enjoyed watching your development, and last year was a lot of fun. We got to do the post game last year and talked a lot about you. And
yeah, we talked a lot about Nick. That was good stuff, man.
I appreciate that. That was love.
Good stuff. And you had to move around. You had to fill in for some folks, played a little
safety. Yeah, man, I never played for you safety in my life. So that was cool. Like I said, every year something different.
Learning,
so I'm just
growing.
Trying to keep growing, keep adding to the resume, and I could do it all, man. Yeah. Free safety, strong safety, nickel, corner.
And a fish tank guest.
Yeah, and I think that's important. Part about it, man, is, you know, the Josh Boyer thing, but all you guys coming back, you know, bigger and better things the next year.
Yeah, the chemistry.
We didn't even talk a little bit about your young safeties on top of those corners.
No, right, man.
You five on that backside, man.
Yeah, Javon and Brandon.
Unbelievable.
Yes, sir. No, they ball.
Yeah, you're talking about, you like going downhill. Those two guys.
Yeah, no, they look different than me. Yeah, they really going downhill. Yeah, especially Brandon. Brandon let out.
Yeah, no
he'd be D-tackle sometimes if in there. Yeah, he'd be getting it in.
No doubt. So, well, this was a lot of fun, man. It was good to get to know
you.
Again, I can't even say Fody, but, you know, it was fun to watch you out there, and now to get to know you, I think it'll be even more fun this year, man. So we're excited to see what happens.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for diving in.
No problem. Thank you.
You're now diving into the fish tank.
Sitting down with Seth Living, Seth. OJ, Juice Woo. Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, Dolph fans, number one, of course y'all,
This ain't no ordinary sports talk. Never been at Fish Tank. Go get your aqua orange. Yeah, it's kinda never been at Fish Tank. It's only legendary talking when you dive up in that fish tank. Rockin' with OJ and Seth when we dive up in that fish tank. Fans with attitude, we okay, gotta dive up in that fish tank. Hard. Celebrate big or cry hard. Leave it all on the field, we gon' try hard. Old school, a new school, mix it in. Feeling like we up close when we listening. Dolphins tails in Miami is the deep end. We vibing with our favorite players, no secret. We get with Seth and McDuffie, bringing up stories we never heard to the public. Bet we love it, Dolphins fans never budget. We loyal to the team, whether happy or we upset. We be like, what's next? Don't switch the subject. You know it's all about them fins. And if you ready for that water, time to dive in. Don't switch the subject. You know it's all about them fins. And if you down with Dolphins Nation, time to dive in. Don't switch the subject. You know it's all about them fins. You looking at that fish tank, it's time to dive in. That fish tank. Go get your aqua orange. Yeah, it's time to dive up in that fish tank. It's only legendary talking when you dive up in that fish tank. Rapping with OJ and Seth, time to dive up in that fish tank.